Check, check. Testing. Testing. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. And as always, let us start with prayer. Invite the Holy Spirit to come in and just be with us and feed us this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that ministers to us as only the Holy Spirit can minister, Lord God. I thank you because the Holy Spirit reaches down into the deep recesses of our heart and talks to us and ministers to us, Lord God. And we are never the same, Lord. We are truly changed, Lord God. No faking, no facade, Lord. Your Holy Spirit truly changes us, Lord God. So, Lord, we pray once again, Lord. Don't let your Holy Spirit just hover, but fall on us. Infuse us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would rise up as children of the Most High God. Oh, Lord, that we would bless your name, Lord God. We just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with our lesson, the lift up of my head. Just several announcements. Next Sunday, it's time for Famaship again, guys. So we are going to have a Sunday dinner next Sunday. Virginia was reminding me, hey, it's been a while, okay? We need to have some fellowship. So next Sunday at my house, we're going to have a fellowship. Sunday dinner right after church, you know, just come by, you guys know, right about 1 o'clock or so. Just bring a dish and we share it. We don't even plan it, but we always have just such a wonderful time. So if you need a flyer with my address and stuff, there should be, I don't know if there's some up at the table, but I have some up there. And I think we have them all on the table. Also, there is a handout for today, another handout. The title is My Heart, Christ Home. So if you don't have one at the table, then pick one up at the counter over there. So today we're going to continue with the lifter up of my head. Last week we talked about praying this name, and we talked about how wonderful it is when you get the key to the secret place. You know, when you get the key to the secret place, you are never the same, folks. When you get to the key to the secret place, you can endure anything. You can withstand so much because God is always there with a well of water to refresh you again and again and again. So we thank him for the secret place, and it comes through prayer. It comes through so many. It just comes through God just refreshing you over and over again. We went over the Psalm of David, Psalm 51, when he really just poured out his heart in Psalm 51. And we talked about how he talked about purging him with hyssop. You know, we talked about how hyssop was used for the deadliest of diseases. So David used that comparison to talk about how he understood the depth of what he had done. And that's how deep he wanted God to cleanse him with hyssop so that he would be clean. So we think, you know, so we see how when we go to that secret place, it's a place just for you and Jesus. You know, I love that song that we were playing. It's called Mine, All Mine. And it's just this love song to Jesus. It says, weep no more. It's time to rise and shine. Wipe the tears from my eyes, because he's mine, all mine. And there's a verse in there that says, I'm in love with him, and he's in love with me. It's just such a beautiful love song that really ignites your spirit with the love that Christ has for you and the love you have for him. Today we're going to move on and we're going to talk about hallowing this name. As we know, hallowing means that we hold it sacred. The lifter of my head is something that you've got to hold sacred, folks. If you're going to make it in this day and age, if you can lift your head in this day and age, you know, it's because you're hallowing that name. You understood it. And we talked about our key scripture. You know, David talked about all the things that were going on. And then he said, but thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. And we're paying that for our pastor today as he's lost his father this week. I don't know if you guys were aware. I just was made aware a little while ago. But he's ministering this morning. Praise God. And, you know, it's just an example of this very scripture. this has happened, Lord. I've had this loss, but thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. So our key scripture for this segment is, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And that's a scripture from Job 23:12. So as we get into this lesson, our first point, it says, to hallow or hold sacred this name, the lifter up of my head, is to recognize his love. And I want you to underline his love, because we're going somewhere with the different parts of hallowing this name. First of all, you've got to recognize his love as your lifeline in this world and into eternity. You embrace his love beyond the physical, beyond the emotional, into the spiritual. You hold to what is eternal over what is temporal. And I want you to really get this morning, because I found that love is the key factor in lifting up your head. Do you understand that? Love is the key factor in lifting up your head. In most, if not all, cases in human beings who have their heads cast low, it is because it is a matter of love. There's an issue with love when their head is cast down. I mean, check it. Check your own life and see if it all comes back to love. Someone didn't love me. I was betrayed. Somebody didn't love me. Somebody hurt me. Somebody may not have loved me. I reached out to them and they didn't love me back. We call it unrequited love. Or the fear of not being loved. I don't know if they're going to love me. I think they're going to stab me in the back. I think they're going to hurt me. All these things that keep our head cast down low. Folks, it's an issue with love. That we're not loved enough, or we don't feel loved enough, or we haven't known love. And yes, in this world, there is so much. There's so much things that are not lovely. There are so many people that do hurt you and do beat you up. And in every single case, it's a lack of love. It's a love matter. You know, remember the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then the second one is similar. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's always a love matter, see, when we're always cast down, because there's a love issue there. So we want to talk about love for a little bit and just really drive it home for us that our issue is always a lack of love or a love matter. When people are angry, when people are resentful, when people are bitter or even vengeful, many times the root of it is a love lack. The root of it is a love lack. They're angry. Oh, trace it. Somebody didn't love them. They may have the face of anger and look angry on the outside, but when you get down deep, somebody didn't love them. Or they didn't feel that somebody loved them, so they acted out, and they did this, and they did that. I believe the prisons are full now because somebody had a love lack somewhere. Someone once told me, and I'm not swearing at you guys, but someone once told me you can love the hell out of anybody. And I believe that's true. You know, but we have got, as Christians, as believers, we've got to have that constitution that even in the face of anger and resentment and bitterness and even vengeance, can we love? Can we love? Or do we revert back to type? You don't love me? Well, I'm not loving you either. That's Babylon stuff, folks. Christ has shown us a better way. A better way. I'm telling you, our whole world needs its head lifted up. And it's an issue with love. So we're hallowing and holding sacred this name, the lifter up of my head. We have got to learn how to love. Through all that stuff that you see people present to you. I'll tell you, love melts it. I heard somebody say, you throw love at hate. You throw love at hate. If you throw hate at hate, you're just feeding hate. Yeah. But you throw love at hate and you will extinguish hate. So you've got to understand, when we're talking about lifting up our heads, it's not just about you having your head lifted up. It's about your brother and your sister having their head lifted up too, regardless how they present to you. Love lack, folks. So when we're hollering, we're holding sacred. That's why we have that scripture from Job. He says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. And I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. I have treasured the words of his lips. And he said, you love your neighbor as yourself. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's how we get our heads lifted and we hold sacred. That's the holding piece. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 27:10, it says, although my father and my mother have abandoned me, yet the Lord will take me up and adopt his child. See, the issue, the issue with this love lack, how you recover from it, is that you've got to tap into the love of Jesus Christ. You've got to believe it. Because we don't believe it. We are so jaded. From growing up in this world, man, you can get so jaded, so hard-hearted, and so suspicious that we cannot even tap into the love of Jesus Christ. We don't believe it. How can somebody that lived 2,000 years ago, I heard somebody say, have anything to do with me? Don't believe it. But if you tap in, and the enemy doesn't want you to believe it. He wants your head hung down from a lack of love. Yeah, you may physically have it up in pride. I don't need anybody. I got this. I'll tell you, the most prideful people are the ones that are lacking love. Mm-hmm. I have found that to be true. The ones that always need to put somebody else down, lack of love. Love lack, right there. That person needs love. There's a lot, love, so, you know, you got to see with your spiritual eyes. Don't see what's in the physical and in the flesh. The prideful person has a love lack. They may have their nose up in the air, but in their soul, their head is lifted down. That's why you're seeing that behavior. It's a cover. It's a front for a love lack. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, again, to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That's the love he has for you. But you got to believe it, because if you don't believe it, you're going to be walking through life with a love lack. And you're going to be vulnerable to anything the enemy shoots at you. They don't like you. They don't like you because, and fill in the blank, because it's endless. With the love lack, you can't tap into that scripture, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you have a love lack, the enemy can, this is not going to happen because. They don't like you because. This is not going to happen because. But do you believe he loves you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Some of you don't believe he's coming. But I'm telling you, his love compels him to come back. His love compels him to come back and get us. Because he loves us. But you've got to tap into that love, because, again, it's the holding of a sacred. We're so afraid. I'm so full of fear that he doesn't love. So afraid that I'm not going to be loved. So afraid. I'm telling you, working with K kids with autism, you have to study behavior. You know, we have to do a lot of training in behavior, watching behavior. You know, and we train our staff that there's something that always happens before a behavior. If we call it the antecedent, the thing that precedes the behavior. And then you see the behavior itself. And then after the behavior, there's a consequence. A leads to B, leads to C. And when we start to see, I see it so many times, that the antecedent for certain behaviors is fear. Afraid that I'm not going to be loved. Afraid, you know, fear. The basis of fear is a love lack. It is the basis of fear. I'm afraid because whatever's coming after me doesn't love me and may hurt me and may destroy me. And that's why the scriptures, 2 Timothy 1:17, this powerful scripture, you know it well, for God has not given us the spirit, a spirit of fear, but of power. And here it is, and of love, and of a sound mind. Because fear will jack your mind up so you'll elicit all kind of crazy behaviors. And there's a love lack. People panic and do all kind of crazy things because of a love lack that's being fueled by fear. But when you trust God, I just think about all the scriptures that are coming to mind. Be still and know that I am God. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. You know, it's something that all these scriptures have to do with being still and not trying to be panicky. It has to do with trusting me because I love you. I will take care of you. You ever been around your child when they're frightened and you see them? And usually what do? You scoop them up in your arms. Hey, it's all right. And you're not necessarily trying to take care of the issue. You're just trying to calm them down. That's what God does. Be still. And know. Know in your knower that I am God. I love you. Oh boy, I'm telling you, if you're going to hold sacred the lifter of my head, you have got to understand and believe in the love Christ has for you. Beloved, he says it in his word. Oh, beloved. Beloved. As we move on in our lesson, it says we hold to this name as the consolation, the comfort, the relief of our souls. When Christ was born, comfort and relief was finally brought to Israel. Israel was an oppressed and captive nation. She was being abused by Rome and needed relief. Therefore, when the Christ child was brought to the temple in Luke 2, and the old man Simeon laid eyes on him, he declared, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was previously unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory of your people, Israel." Relief. Relief. Love had arrived. Love had arrived, folks. For God so loved the world that he gave, so love had arrived. So even though Simeon may not have lived to see the ministry of Christ, he said love has arrived. And now there is relief for Israel. And not just Israel. Notice it says all peoples. There is relief for the world. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel that would come through the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. You got to get that lifter and love connection. They hook up together. Head lifted up. Know that he loves you. I tell you, you roll up in that love thing with Jesus, oh my goodness, nothing can touch you because I know he loves me. I know he loves me. I did remember this little picture that somebody showed me once, this little kid that got in trouble and he's sitting there pouting because he got reprimanded. And he says, I know God loves me because he don't make no junk. Even though he had messed up, even though he had made a mistake and who knows what was said to him, I know God loves me. He don't make no junk. And he doesn't. Oh, but that adversary of yours, the devil, ooh, he'll come and tell you you're junk. But again, love arrived to lift up our heads. It's important to note that Christ delivers us and lifts up our heads by delivering us from sin. Okay, this is the second part. We talked about the love part. Here's the second part of this lifting up of your head, of holding it sacred, and it has to do with repentance. Repentance may be a part of your lifting. And sometimes we don't want to hear that part. We want to hear, I love the Bless Me songs, all the songs we sing, Bless Me, Bless Me, as we talked about, you know, months ago, praying the prayer of Jabez, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. But folks, we got to look at the whole counsel of God. God is not going to enlarge the territory of sin. So sometimes when our head needs to be lifted up, it's a matter of repentance. And the Holy Spirit will bring you back to that over and over again. You know, as I said, nothing between my soul and my Savior, folks. And that's another part of that love piece. When you start to fall in love with Jesus, nothing between my soul and my Savior. I can't have anything between me and the one that I love, that I'm in love with. Repentance may be a part of your lifting, folks. He cannot lift your head if you will not let go and repent of your sin. And repentance is on you. That's not on God. That's on you. The blood of Jesus has been shed. The blood of Jesus has covered the sins of the world. So repentance is now on you. God has nothing more to do as far as your repentance is concerned. That's all you. He's merciful because he'll keep lifting you. He'll keep egging you on toward repentance. He'll show you scriptures. Songs will come into your mind. Situations will happen. As I said, be paying attention because God is always talking. He is always talking. Trying to get you to understand what you need to do. So repentance. You cannot embrace the ways of evil and of the evil one and reject the word of God and then pray and expect to be lifted by God. You know, I love God for that too. He's merciful enough to keep you in a place. As I said, the next lesson is the rock, folks. Get ready, okay? Because he's merciful enough to keep you in a place until you're ready to repent. Yes. Because if he lifted you up and blessed you and all that stuff, you would just, without no repentance, you're going to find yourself right back there again. Trust me on that one. Nothing changed. So that's why in his mercy, in his grace, he will let you stay there. Check with him. Lord, what do I need? David said it was good that I was afflicted. Because he understood something. It was good that Daddy disciplined me. Because I rose up better. That I might, thank you, Rita, that I may learn the statutes of God. Because God does not reward sin, folks. He loves you, loves you. He didn't stop loving you, but he can't reward. He cannot do it. He's holy. That's not some transient condition. He is eternally, ever, forever, and ever holy. 24/7. From the beginning of the earth to the end of the earth to the end of the universe, he is holy. Nobody gets a pass. That needs to be clear. I don't care how much you think you're doing for Jesus. You don't get a pass when it comes to sin. I've been around folks that thought they got a pass. Because they're doing something for Jesus. Well, after all, I started this ministry and all these people came to Jesus and I'm just doing all this stuff so I get a pass. No, you don't get a pass. Sin cannot stand in his sight for anybody, any reason, anywhere. That is a lie. I know that is a lie that the enemy tells Christians all the time. Well, after all, you did all that, so yeah, God will wink at this. God, you know what? He can't do it. It is against who he is. It's not, see, we got this human mentality where we think we can convince God. We can convince him to wink at sin. It's impossible. So give it up. Give it up. Repent. And I'm telling you that the liar will keep you, try to keep you from repenting. But I'm telling you, as you pray and break through that lie, and you give up and you repent, I'm telling you, a load lifts off you. There's liberty in repentance. There's liberty. There's freedom in repentance. The enemy wants to keep you in chains to this thing. Got to be dodging people. Don't want to run into people. But I'm telling you, forgive. Let go. Repent. And you hold, your head is lifted up around anybody. And they bring it up. Yeah, that happened, but thank you. Jesus, you delivered me. Yes, I did that. Oh, thank you. Jesus delivered me. And people don't know how to respond to that one. Oh, well, they're walking in Jesus. Watch it. What? You watch them. They will not know what to respond. Oh, but, you know, God delivered me from that. They're looking at you like, oh, okay. Because it's a spirit. And that spirit just creeps away. At the name of Jesus, they creep away. Because they can't stand up against that name. So you can't embrace the ways of the evil one and reject the word of God and then pray and expect your head to be lifted. God cannot endorse sin. The scripture teaches us the deliverer, the Messiah, will come from Zion and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is there's two things going on here. There's two parts to the Messiah coming, folks. As I said, we wanted the Messiah. We're waiting on the Messiah. But there's two parts to the Messiah coming. Yes, he will deliver you. But he's cleansing too. There's two parts to the Messiah. They go hand in hand. And you can start your repentance with the one who already knows your sin. Again, we go back to David. Wash me with hyssop. You know how deep your sin is. But Christ, I'm telling you, when you start to come and repent before Christ, he will show you the depth of your sin. Because sometimes we don't think anything else. Oh, well, it was just a little lie. Oh, it was, you know. He will show you. Sin is messy. It is messy. It is never just you. When you sin, I'm telling you, that mud gets on everybody around you. So you take it to the one who already knows your sin, and he will bring clarity as to why you need to repent and confess your faults to one another, as it says in James 5 and 16. As I said, it's never, ever, and I know that's Mary's phone, because it's never, ever, ever about you, just about you. It's always messy, and that's why Jesus hates sin so much, because you're not just hurting you, the one he loves so much, but the people around you that he loves too, the even innocent ones, children, are hurt. So he wants to lift your head up and to lift up the heads of the people around you. And sometimes it's a matter of you got to bring that repentance to him, not just for your sake, but for their sake. When you hold sacred this name, the lifter up of my head, you can pray all of the promises made to you by God in his word. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. See, once you get that right, man, y'all can pray all those promises. Amen. Then I can pray the prayer of Jabez. Amen. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. Then I can pray it. Yes. And the Lord is like, yes, we can enlarge your territory because now you get the vision of what this is about. You know what to do with the blessing now. You're not operating in greed and hoarding and me, 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 and pride. And now you've repented, I can bless you because now you know what to do with the blessing. God is a good businessman. I found he is a good businessman. You know, even the banks will check you out before they invest in you. Amen. They're going to check you out. See how what your record is like. Check your credit score to see how you've been spending money. See if you pay your debts. Even the banks do that. So you want to pray, God bless me, bless me. And God is like, you got some stuff you need to bring to me first. I want to, oh God, I want to bless you. But you would squander the blessing. You would waste the blessing. Or the blessing would destroy you because you're too prideful and you're too greedy. So the blessing would destroy you, and I love you too much for that to happen. So how do you remedy the situation? Repentance. Bring yourself to Jesus, honey. Not to your friend, not to your daddy, not to your mama. Bring yourself to Jesus. There comes a time when you got to bring yourself to Jesus. I've heard people say that. Oh, he's fine now. We had a coming to Jesus meeting. And I don't know what happened in that meeting, but afterward, that child, she usually is, it's a mother talking about her child. Oh, he's fine now. We had a coming to Jesus meeting. He's not going to give you any more problems. Because sometimes you just got to come to Jesus. He will encourage you and give you endurance in ways that only he can. The lifter up of your head will speak to the deepest and most intimate parts of you. And I love that because when we pray that prayer, Holy Spirit blesses only you can bless. See, he's talking about the intimate parts, those things you don't tell anybody. But they're there. The enemy will try to deceive you into thinking it's safer to keep it, these things, not to speak it to the Lord. But these things have held you down. The Lord knows it's there. He's waiting for you. He said, I see it. I'm just waiting for you to deal with it. I see the trash. I'm just waiting for you to come and bring it out. You know? So you're not keeping any secrets from God. And as you pray, he will lift you from the inside out. Amen. Giving you comfort and hope. And this, folks, is true encouragement. This is true lifting. When he starts to lift you from the inside out, when he starts to purify you and purge you, then your head is truly lifted to clean out the back closets of your heart and your mind with the love of the Savior and the broom of his Holy Spirit. He cleans it out with love. I'm not saying go around airing your dirty laundry. I'm just saying you start with Jesus. And Jesus will show you what you need to do, what you need to speak, and what's just between you and him. I hope you all have this handout. If you don't, there's some on the desk. It's called My Heart Cries Home. I read this book years ago. I think I may have passed it out years ago. But it came up again with this lesson. You know, and it happens to be online, folks. So just go ahead. If you want another, Google it. And it's online. They have the whole in PDF format online. And we don't have time to read the whole thing. But I want you to go to, I think it's the second to the last page, the hall closet. We got to talk about the hall closet today. The heading that says the hall closet. It's on the last page, well, second to the last page. I just got to read to you about the hall closet because this story is written in the form of a house, and it talks about the different rooms in your heart. And it, you know, you'll read about the living room and the dining room and all of this and the rec room. But let's talk about the hall closet today. And it says, There is just one more matter that I might share with you, and this is Jesus. One day I found him waiting for me at the door. An arresting look in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, "There's a peculiar odor in the house. There is something dead around here.
Yes.
It's upstairs. I think it is in the hall closet." As soon as he said this, I knew what he was talking about. Yes, there is a small closet up there in the landing, just a few square feet. And in that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things that I did not want anyone to know about, and I certainly did not want Christ to see them. I knew they were dead and rotting things left over from the old life. And yet, I loved them, and I wanted them so for myself that I was afraid to admit that they were there. Hallelujah. Reluctantly, I went up to him, and as we mounted the stairs, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed to the door. "It's in there. Something dead." I was angry. That's the only way I can put it. I had given him access to the library, the dining room, the living room, the work room, the playroom, and now he is asking me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, this is too much. I'm not going to give him the key. "Well," he said, reading my thoughts, "if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with this odor, you are mistaken. I will take my bed out on the back porch. I'm certainly not going to put up with that." Then I saw him start down the stairs. When you have come to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense his fellowship retreating from you. I had to surrender. "I'll give you the key," I said sadly, "but you'll have to open the closet and clean it out. I haven't the strength to do it." "I know," he said. "I know you haven't.
Hallelujah.
Just give me the key. Just authorize me to take care of that closet, and I will."
Glory to God.
So with trembling fingers, I passed the key to him. He took it from my hand, walked over to the door, opened it, entered it, took out all of the putrefying stuff that was rotting in there, and threw it away. Then he cleansed the closet and painted it, fixed it up, doing it all in a moment's time. Oh, what victory and release to have that dead thing out of my life. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? And you need to read the whole thing. It is just an amazing little booklet that was written by Robert Boyd Munger. My heart. Christ's home. I'm telling you, and that's where he does. He cleans the rooms of your house, cleans the room. And I'll tell you, when it comes to lifting your head, that little stinky closet is a thing that keeps pulling your head down because people know about that stinky thing. It has an odor. And sometimes it comes shooting through because it's an odor that people smell around you. There's something not right. That closet that you won't let Christ deal with. But what a release. What a relief. It's like how you feel when you've just been out in the yard and you're all sweaty and smelly and all this stuff. And, you know, and you come in the house and you don't want to be around people. We got company. Okay, let me just get to the shower and I'll be back. Or if you have to be around people, you're like this.
Yeah.
No, don't hug me, I'm sweaty. No. And that's the way our Christian life is when we have that stinky little closet. But after you take a shower and you're fresh.
Hi, how are you?
I took a shower this morning. How are you doing? You know, you're free.
Amen.
You can do what you want to do. You know, you're raising your hand. Hey! Set free.
Hallelujah.
Set free.
Hallelujah.
what that's like, folks. Don't let the liar tell you. Keep it under wraps. Keep it under wraps. He's a liar. Christ is not a quick fix. He is not the one who will place. He is the one that will place your feet upon a rock and establish your goings. A quick fix is if you come in from outside all sweaty, you just put some perfume on. Just put some cologne on. You ever smell stink with cologne? Oh my God! I mean, you reek. You smell worse. That's what we do sometimes. Oh, I'm okay. I'm blessed. Got our Bible under our arm. I'm blessed. Gotta let Christ clean you up. He's not a quick fix. He will place your feet upon a rock and establish your goings. With the lifter up of your head, there's no hangover, no rebound depression from his lift. He will give you joy forevermore. He will fill your days with hope. Refill on him every day because he is ever available. See, there it is. He's ever available, ever available. That's why you got to pray every day. Lord, fill me again today. Fill me again. There's no side effects to him except good things. I appreciate so much the practice of medicine. We need it. You know, in this fallen world, God knows we need it. But most medicines have side effects. You know it. But compare Jesus Christ. Oh. All the side effects are, oh, yay, yes, I get this too. Wow, I get relief from this thing, and I get joy. Oh, man, and I get peace. Oh, my goodness. So he really lifts your head, and he's ever available. He doesn't get tired of you coming back again and again and again and again. Again, that's something the liar will tell you. But he made that clear in his word. How much do we forgive our brothers? 7 times? And that disciple thought he was being impressive. 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. I'm trying to make it clear. You always forgive, because I'm always forgiving. The most relevant way in which Christ lifts our head is as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And this is the third part. Underline the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. See, there's the love piece. There's a repentance piece. And then there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin piece. Takes it away. Sin lowers our heads and shame, in shame and guilt. But the Lamb of God washes our sins away in his blood and then lifts our head toward his face, and our shame and our guilt melts away. He does that. As the scripture has spoken, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you get that scripture? He takes it away from you. We call it a testimony. Because he take it away. Yes, I used to do that, and I was, but I thank you for Jesus. Yes, I used to be a prostitute, but thank you for Jesus. That was the testimony of Mary Magdalene. But thank God for Jesus. He took away that junk out of my life, and now I got a testimony. After Christ lifts your head, and please get this, it is important to maintain your head lifting, okay? In prayer and study of his word, hold to it as sacred and priceless. Remember, there's a thief out there. There's a thief. He is described appropriately and definitively as a thief. He will steal it from you. He can't take it. No man can pluck you out of my hand. So he has to steal it from you with lies. I need you to lay it down. So I'm going to tell you lies. So you lay it down. But you got to hold sacred that he has lifted my head. And I hold that sacred. I don't have to go back into that junk. The enemy will try to get you to return to a lowered head state of being. He will bring up your past, but you must fight him with prayer and the word of truth. But thou, O Lord, is a shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. And I'm not lifting my head because of me and my works. I'm lifting my head because of his work. That's why I can lift my head. You know, some people try to do penance. Well, I'm going to do penance. I need to do all, if I do all this stuff, then if I do all this stuff, then I'll be okay. I'm going to go in on the mission field and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Mm-mm. It's only because of Christ that I can lift my head. And don't let the enemy tell you you have to do penance before he will forgive you. I know there are certain religions and certain faiths that teach that, but folks, I'm telling you, that is not, that's a, I gotta say it, it's a lie. It's a lie that keeps your head lifted down. Because I can't lift my head until I do this, when Christ has done it all.
Amen.
On the cross.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything except come to him. And it's done. Christ will continue to be your help and shield and the lifter up of your head. Psalm 23 says he refreshes and restores my soul or my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect me and your staff to guide me. They comfort and they console me. You know, I want you to just go through that scripture and just underline everything that refers to Christ. He starts with, he leads me. His name's sake. Your rod, your staff. It's all about him. It's not, it's all about him in this. The Lord is my strength. The Lord will strengthen you and keep your head lifted up as you call on him. If you call on him. Your I can't are swallowed up in his victory. Your declaration is always, 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 I can do all things which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. That's Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. That's one for the war room. Okay? That's a war room one. To read. Therefore, you keep singing and you keep praising. Strength is within praise. Hallelujah. It is. For you are in a safe place. The arrows of the enemy will fall harmless at your feet. The scripture says, for you have been a stronghold for the helpless, a stronghold for the poor in his distress, a shelter for the storm, a shade from the heat. For the breath of tyrants is like a rainstorm against a wall. And I want you to just note that picture in your, that picture in your lesson. The rainstorm coming up against the wall. But I'm walking safely, Lord. I'm walking safely because I'm walking with the Lord. I'm safe. For the breath of tyrants is like a rainstorm against a wall. And our final scripture comes from Psalm 40, verse 2, and it says, he brought me up. See, this is the testimony piece, folks. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of tumult and destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my footsteps and establishing my path. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, I'm excited right now. He lifts your head, folks. This is no facade, yes. No fake smile. You don't have to fake it till you make it.
Right.
Just take it to Jesus.
That's right.
And you got the real, true, genuine article. Your head is lifted, truly.
Amen.
Any comments or questions, guys? We got several. Okay, I'm going to start this end and move this way, okay?
You know, I'm just, when you're saying about the love of God, first of all, God is not a man, and we need to reverence him. And when you said God does not like sin, of course he doesn't like sin. When Jesus was on the cross and saying, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
Because he took all our sins in his body, and the Father left temporarily. Of course.
That's right.
He couldn't look at him.
He couldn't look at him. But God, like Romans 9:38 or something. For I'm sure that neither death nor life,
no angels,
no things present to come, no powers, no height, no depth, no anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God,
which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he loved us so much. So when people say, well, you know, I've been praying and nothing is happening.
Oh, yes,
I said, you need to check yourself. Do you have sins in your life? God will not hear you because he doesn't like sin.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, we need to reverence him, and we need to make sure that we check ourselves every day. Am I doing something wrong?
Yes.
You know, that's why we need to be pure and holy because he is holy.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. I'm telling you, can I just make a comment on
right,
that one? Just several comments. See, because people don't get, you know, because one thing that make people afraid of Christianity is that people change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You weren't like that before, and now you're.
Because
they don't. See, you can't understand this love until you come in.
Yes.
And you have that relationship.
Amen.
And then you change, and they can understand why are you acting like this? Why can't. You don't understand the love, see? You don't understand. I'm in love, see? When people are in love, they change up on you, okay? See, when you're in love with Jesus, yes, you change. And that's what scares people about Christianity.
Right.
They change and they act different.
That's right.
Oh, yes, but you don't know. You don't understand the love. So,
Amen.
We got this love.
I mean, there's so many things I could say. My first thought when you were talking about he is holy, I thought about Moses. The burning bush, take off your shoes, you're on the holy ground.
You're on holy ground.
I also thought about God is so pure and holy, there's no sin in him anyway. Mm-hmm. He's not a sinful God. And I just remember when I used to go repent before God, I didn't get it right away. It takes time. You got to grow and you got to stay in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time, and then I always tried to compromise the sin that I did when I prayed, but it was still happening. But God was still, his mercy and grace was still there waiting for it until I got it.
Yes.
You know, people give up too quickly because they want this done and fixed quick when you repent. You can't do that. You're going to still do that. But once you start bringing the tears and a repentant heart to the Lord, he sees into your heart and he knows that you're serious. But stay there.
Yes.
And pretty soon that sin is going to be gone. He's burning away the shaft to your heart.
Right.
Like those rooms you're talking about, each room is getting clean.
Yes.
Each root is getting clean in the Word of God. And then as you continue to grow, you fall in love because now you get to understand with the wisdom and knowledge, and the Holy Spirit is there to help you.
Yes.
So when I was listening to you, I was getting all excited.
Yes.
And I got all excited because I know what you're saying.
Yes.
And when you begin to know what a pastor or a teacher is saying, because we have the same Spirit of God living in us, and when it comes together like that, it's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's no need for us to fear anymore because we now have the power to cast down all those strongholds the enemy trying to throw at you.
Yes, amen. Amen. I mean, be set free. I don't see any reason to be bound anymore. It takes time for you to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, because I find that's the issue.
Yeah.
We read it. We've heard it since we were a child. Yeah. We heard all these scriptures. But you don't believe it. And folks, when you believe it, oh my God. You know.
One thing I've learned, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't want to grieve you, God.
Amen.
I don't want to grieve you, God. Because you can grieve His Spirit.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about the flood.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed the earth of the flood.
Yes.
But He said, it grieves my spirit what I have to do.
Yes. It always hurts. When you are suffering, God hurt. Amen. It hurts His heart.
Yes.
But he's like,
Amen.
I can't be anything else but holy.
Yes.
So I have to deal with this.
Yes.
I have to deal with this. You know, I've heard people say, how can a loving God put people in hell? Like, you're going yourself.
You're
he made
yourself.
Every provision possible
right.
for you not
right.
to go.
Right.
And it breaks his heart
yes.
that people would go there.
Yes.
Choose that. That beautiful Amen. Gift, that Amen. Dangerous gift he gave to us called free will. Amen. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, there are two things. Let the love of God, it's like 101. The first thing it says is trust versus mistrust.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if a child has not received that when they were first born,
wow.
that's how come we have the conflict of America today.
Wow.
Because they're searching for love.
Yes,
and if
they
never
right.
had that love, yeah. trust versus mistrust,
yes.
they don't have it. And that's how come they look for the into drugs and gangs
yes.
and
yeah, right.
everything
wow.
else for that one reason.
And that's where we
wow.
come in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where we come in.
Wow.
We're going to take
love
it back
Christ.
To
yeah.
that first stage.
Yeah.
And it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you have to get to the person's heart and say, what happened to you? Where, did you feel the love? Were you bonded with your family? They say, no, I don't even know
wow.
what that is.
That's right.
That's what they're searching
yes.
for, is that trust
yes.
versus mistrust.
Yes.
Then also, in the valley of the shadow of death, we go through the valley. We don't stay there. We don't park there.
We go through it. Yes, we
yeah.
go through
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's the Christian life, is that we
yeah.
have to go that trust versus mistrust, and we don't
yes.
stay and park in the valley.
Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
that's such a good point.
Yeah,
you know, because there's a whole disorder called mm-hmm. reactive attachment disorder
yeah.
or
yeah.
detachment
yeah.
disorder,
yeah.
where if a child does not get that attachment,
that right.
love issue,
you
when they're children,
that.
They grow mm-hmm. up, and boy, they are just they have just
oh, no.
negative behaviors after negative mm-hmm. behaviors as children,
right.
and they continue to grow up, and then at some point, people label them sociopaths and
right.
all these
yeah.
different
yeah.
things, and it's a love issue.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a love. I tell you guys, this love thing. I mean, we've got to get it, and we have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you were saying, Brother Sam, we have the answer.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Jesus Christ,
right.
you know, he can break through rad. He can break through
right.
a sociopathic
right.
behavior.
Exactly.
He can break through the depression. I just think so many things. Love issue.
Love,
yes.
love lack.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't love me, as you said. And love and compassion. I learned that too.
Yeah.
That children have to learn compassion before the age of 5.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't
yeah.
learn compassion, they may never get it. I thought that was really, this is psych. This is
yeah.
psychology 101.
Right.
You know, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, they need to
yes,
learn.
And most of the time, the parents don't even have the trust.
Thank
versus
you.
Mistrust.
Yes.
So it goes back
yes.
from generation,
generation
to
generation to
generation.
You've
got to break that
wow.
cycle.
Wow, and don't we see
and that?
That
cycle,
we need to reach
the person
parents.
Yes.
The husband, wife, and so
yes.
we need to reach them.
Yes.
And as a testimony for me, I grew up in a dysfunctional home.
Yes.
I grew up in that situation.
Did you? Uh-huh.
I grew up without real love.
Yeah.
I grew up without a father. My testimony to men, they moved them because a lot of men out there today, you know, there's a lot of men grew up without fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And all that love that you're talking about,
yeah.
when you grow up without that love, you follow the world.
Yeah.
And the world will lead you into sin. So sin is a trap from the
yes.
enemy.
And you can't buy that.
So,
you can't
but now the love of Christ.
Yes.
The love of Christ.
The love of Christ.
Beautiful
right?
example.
Your father
yeah.
and mother can forsake you. He never
the
will.
Lord
will
lift
but
you
how
up.
Would they know that if they don't have a grandmother or somebody
yeah. Yeah.
in that family that knows God to speak into their lives?
Wow.
I didn't have that.
Mm.
I came to God on my own.
Yes.
But God did that anyway.
Yes.
It's him that moved me.
Yeah.
It's him that I searched for.
He set up the circumstances.
And
then
see,
God,
I see, I was seeking God all
yeah.
the time.
Uh-huh.
But as I was going through the valley shadow of death, I was seeking him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
His hand was on me. That's all right. The day will come when you will hear my voice. The day will come when you'll follow my son. The day will come when you'll be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And the day will come I will reveal the truth and you'll begin to walk in my light and you'll begin to see. But take that out into the world, what I've given you, and you speak to ones that
wow.
been where you've been.
Oh, amen.
yeah.
I tell you, our day's not written in a book. He had your date down.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
The day that you
amen.
Were going to change.
Amen.
I'm just thinking about gangs, but you mentioned about gangs. Boy, the issue with gangs in our nation. Why? Looking for family. Looking
yeah.
for love. I've heard that over and over, that you know, the gangs are like families
yes,
to them.
Are,
and,
yeah.
you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness. But it's the sin, a path of
they
destruction. And it's a love lack.
Yeah.
If I had seen the love, this wouldn't have tempted me. Amen. I wouldn't have gone for this family had I had the love. You know, so again, Lord, again, guys, we know what our work is. As the scripture says, the fields are white, ready for harvest. Pray that the Lord will send workers into the field.
God knows the heart.
Yes.
You know, and that's, and he may have just heard a little snippet somewhere, mm-hmm. but God will bring that back to him.
Yes. You know, I have found that love is real. You know, I have kids that come to my house and stuff, or, you know, and I just love on them. I'm not telling any scripture. They just love. You want something to eat?
Amen.
You want this? You want that? You know, I don't know if you guys seen some of those Madea movies, you know, and how crazy and bizarre she was. But one thing that I saw with her, this love, kitchen was always going, feeding people, you know, and sometimes that's all it took, you know, feed them, give them some food, love on them, you know, just to sit on down here, go ahead, just sit on down and be comfortable. Oh, yes, you can have that. Let them have, just give them stuff, you know. I mean, just little by little. I have this person, this one young guy that I just deal with all the time, and he's always got me in these conversations about God and all these things. And, you know, he actually just, you know, at some point he just thought, I'm not going to even argue with Dr. Karen anymore because she, you know, she's set in a certain way, you know. But I just love on him. We don't have to even talk anymore, but I just love on him.
Amen.
Here you go. What you need?
Amen.
You know, what's going on with you? Come on, tell me what's, you know, just love. I tell you, love people. And I know God is dealing with his mind and dealing with his heart. You know, just love. Love people. Virginia.
You know, and it's, what's the sad feel about this whole thing, about the love thing, is it's from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
We never really seen our moms and dads express love and hope in the home.
Wow.
We were to be seen and not heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your self-esteem was so low.
Jesus.
Right.
We were so lost.
Right.
And I shared this with my mom one day, not to be throwing no kind of guilt on her, but I shared it with her, and she tells me, "He thought you were saying I wasn't a good mom." And I says, "No. You've done the best with what you knew."
Yes.
Your mom, it went way back there. It's a generational curse that's got to be broken.
Yes.
And it's us people that cut it at the root.
Yes. Come on.
It's
come
not going to happen no more, Lord.
Right.
This little game's over, Satan. We have to get right up front with him and tell him, "You've had my family down, and it's not going to happen again." And somebody's got to cut it at the root.
Hallelujah.
And be serious with that devil.
Amen.
And let him know it's not going to happen again.
It's not okay.
But back to love. There's things in our lives God allows because of that love. I see the results today because God loved my son. He loved my son. And he said, "Nathan, you're not going to hell. You're not going to hell." He put a stop to him. I'm looking at this in a spiritual thing now. That's the only way we could look at this. To know that God loves us so much that he will allow things in our life that we don't like, but because of the love. And because of the lostness. But praise be to God. Here we are free. Now we're free. Now we can worship him. Now we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Because we are free, Sister Karen. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. And I just thank God for that. But it's not because of any other reason. It's all because of his love. His love. But we are blessed people. We are blessed. Our grandmas, great grandmas, moms, they didn't know. But we know. Praise God.
I tell you, hallelujah. Thank you, Virginia. I tell you, that was so powerful. We serve a God of the eternal.
Yes.
not the temporal. This life is a sliver. Do you understand? It's a sliver of eternity. And he wants us with him in eternity.
Amen.
So he'll allow whatever needs to happen, whatever needs to take place, whatever needs to slow you down, whatever needs to make you pay attention so that you are with him in eternity. I understand you, Virginia. Her son went through an accident, and now he's different now. But he loves the Lord now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, and God, I love God. This one, my son Matt, you know, bless his heart. It's up half the night. how God slowed me down. Slowed me down. God, why? Why my son? Oh, I had the conversations and the talks. Oh, but he, oh, thou, O Lord, are shield about me. You're my glory. You have lifted up my head, because it wasn't just about me either. It was about so many others. So let's pray. We got so much to pray about. Just join me in praying. We want to pray especially for love. Love, love, love into this world. The infusion of the love of Christ into this world through his people. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Oh, Lord, we believe that you love us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and we pray with the love that you have given us, Lord God, that we would be a conduit of your love into the world, Lord God, as we have talked about all the different areas where we see the love lack. Oh, Lord, we see the love lack. I pray your people would rise up. Oh, Lord, that we would be beings of love. Oh, Lord, that we would love, Lord, that we would not be led by emotion. We would not be led by fear. We would not be led by anger, vengeance. Lord God, I pray, take it away from us. Oh, Lord, we declare, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Lord God. Lord, I pray you would lead us to repentance.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that our cry would be nothing between my soul and my Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, and we would get it right no matter what it is, no matter how far it goes back, Lord God, but that we would let you clean out our stinky closets.
Yes.
So we can love.
Yes, Lord.
So we can generate your power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, our world is in a desperate state. It's in a desperate state, Lord God. It needs love. The fruit of the Spirit, Lord, the first one is love. The first aspect you talked about is love. And your word said it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So what I pray is we as your people, Lord God, that we would take this and we digest it. No more pretense, no more faking it. Lord, we want to be real before you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
We want to expose every part of our heart.
Yes, Lord.
To you and let you clean it up.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would never, ever be the same.
Hallelujah.
But we go forward in you.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, and we pray this. In Jesus' name, the lifter up of our heads. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. That's always my favorite segment, the hollowing. Oh, God, how we hold to it, Jesus. Sunday dinner next week.
Did you know that Hitler took, I'm going to say, 100 children. He divided them in two parts. The one 50 children for all the love and nurturing that they could get, you know, by parents and that. The other 50 were given, their daily needs were met, but they mm-hmm. were not shown any love at all.
Wow. And no, I didn't know that.
Those children, he did it because he was not loved, and he wanted to see what the difference was with children that were loved and given affection.
Yeah.
And that, but he didn't get that affection.
And what happened with those kids?
Those children, those 50 children, they had problems all their life. They didn't marry. Some of them, if they did, they divorced right away because they couldn't show love either.
Wow.
And by denying them love, they have problems all their life.
Wow.
Many of them divorced. Mm. They did not stay married. They were incapable of loving even their own children.
Wow.
And I heard that and I thought, oh my, I would have loved it.